Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to the worship in this community. Your bulletin has a calendar and list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following the worship service today. During the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so that we'll be able to greet those around you by names. We have a few announcements this morning. Again.
Good morning. The GPC Youth Wheelathon today has now become a walkathon due to the rain. So we are going to still have it. We're going to have the youth meet here at GPC at 12:30. Advisors will drive them to the mall and we'll do some walking, and then we'll come back to GPC for food, and parents can pick up at 5 o'clock. So please spread the word. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to let you know the second hour today was supposed to be by Carrie. It's not going to happen. Her father fell this morning, and not bad, but anytime he falls or anything like that, she goes up to see him and make sure that everything's okay. She just texted me and said, probably not going to happen today. But from what I understand, the Buddhism trip next Sunday is still going to happen. We'll try to fill everybody in the best we can on that as far as information is concerned. It was kind of a 5 minute before I left type situation. So we'll keep informed. Thanks.
Good morning. For the property development team, we met this past week with Rob Kane of Pathstone Development and with Carrie Wynn, who is the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships with the YWCA. Make sure I get that right. And we are pleased to announce that the YW is going to partner with us and with Pathstone in our housing development. The YWCA's motto is Eliminating Racism and Empowering Women. So I think that'll be a really good fit for what we do here. They do a lot with single moms with kids with in their housing, supported housing. 2 weeks from today, on October 20th, following worship here in the sanctuary, we will do a second hour presentation. Rob Kane will be here from Pathstone to update us on all of their progress from their end, the building end, and all their paperwork that they're doing. And Carrie will be here to tell us more about their services and answer your questions. So we hope that you'll be able to be here in 2 weeks and put that on your calendars. Thanks.
This morning we'd like to welcome the Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge back to Gates. She was associate pastor here, retired, and now is pastor emeritus. Glad to have you with us. Let us prepare ourselves for worship now.
Thank you. Indeed, it's wonderful to be back. It's like being home. And because it's like being home, I know well that the folks of Gates Presbyterian Church have discovered the breadth of our faith by being in God's world. Sometimes that's happened for you through the community of this congregation, other times through different channels in your life. But it's all God's work. It's all work to celebrate. I have invited a few folks who represent those discoveries to join me at the table for the call to worship on this World Communion Sunday. So Linda Becker, who's a volunteer at the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, Keisha Binko, who recently returned from a family heritage exploration in Korea, Mary Hadley, a recent board member and hands-on volunteer at Habitat for Humanity, Velta Rishan, a board member of Rochester, Jamaica organization, and Tom Ward, a liaison to the Guatemala Garden Edge Project. Come to the table. These breads on the table are symbols of the many different... Let's start over. Stand up. These breads on the table are symbols of the many different peoples, cultures, and traditions of the family of God.
The bread of Jamaica.
An island displayed as a tropical paradise where the cares of the people are hidden by the no problem images of the tourist industry. We celebrate our faith relationship with our brothers and sisters of the United Church of Jamaica.
We lift up the bread of Guatemala.
A country where violence and hunger are causing people to flee their beloved homeland. We rejoice in the work of the Garden's Edge and Cachalum, and are thankful to be partners supporting sustainable agriculture, microenterprise, and education in the rural communities of Guatemala.
We lift up the bread of the Bahamas,
where the devastation of Hurricane Dorian has caused massive homelessness and hopelessness. We honor those who are the vehicles of renewal in the face of this and other natural disasters.
We lift up the bread of Korea,
a divided peninsula where families are separated by the hostilities of governments. We revere those who are peacemakers striving for resolutions.
We break the bread of Rochester,
where racism, economic inequality, and unemployment continue to tear at the fabric of our neighborhoods. We celebrate those who are working for the common good of all people.
God delights in all those who join at the tables of peace and justice to bring about God's kingdom. Let us worship God, the Creator of all.
Thank you. we can be confident that when we bring our sins to God, God will forgive us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Let us pray. Today, God, we confess fumblings and failures in accomplishing union and communion with each other and with you. On this World Communion Sunday, give us eyes to recognize your reflection in the eyes of people everywhere. Give us a mind to accept and celebrate our differences. Give us a heart big enough to love your children everywhere. We thank you for setting a table with space enough for us all. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Persistently, patiently, lovingly, God pours out grace and joy into our lives, healing our brokenness, forgiving our sins. Loved, we are sent to love. Forgiven, we are free to forgive. Graced, we can offer our gifts to everyone we meet. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven people. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Good morning. So I know some of you, but some of you I don't. I know you. Yeah. So I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Carol Ann, and I have a secret for some of you. Here's the secret. I knew your parents when they were your age. I knew them when they were teenagers. And I've got secrets I can tell to you. I do. Just see me later and I'll share. Today is a very special day in the life of the Christian church. Anybody know what it's called? It's called World Communion Sunday. It's a day in which Christians all over the world celebrate communion together and remember that we all belong to the family of God. Well, as you can see, one way we have celebrated is by bringing different breads from different countries. Let's go look at them. Ready? Come on, let's walk over to the communion table. Okay, you could just rest there. There are breads here from the Bahamas, from Guatemala, from Rochester, from Jamaica, and from Korea. So here's the thing. People all over the world, I mean, we think sometimes that everybody eats exactly what we eat, don't we? But some, you can touch them, it's okay. Sometimes, but actually, people all over the world eat different foods. They have different meats, different vegetables. You can touch that. And they even have different breads. And when they celebrate communion, they use the bread that they use at dinner with their families.
So that's why we have all these different breads here today. Also, I wanted also to tell you that people all over the world celebrate God in different ways. They use different instruments. What instruments do we use here? Yeah? Here in this worship? Sometimes, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Not yet. So maybe touching it is one thing, but, you know, breaking it is another, because we're going to break it a little later. Okay, back to me. So what instruments do we use in this congregation to celebrate God? The piano, that's right. What's another one? The organ. What's another one? Maybe your voice. And I've been here when you've used... Yep, that's right. And so I've been here when the trumpet has been used. But let's say, like in Jamaica, they use a tambourine. Would anybody like to play this?
Okay.
Well, wait just a minute. In Africa, they use a drum. Who would like this? In Mexico, you're right, you said this. They use maracas. And in other places in the world, they use bells. Can you share that one with him? Do you want to play it? Oh, you've got one. Want one? Okay. That's all right. Want one? No? Okay. How about you? Would you like one? Okay. Well, here's the other thing. You can be an instrument yourself by clapping your hands. So let's try it. Let's ask the congregation to join us. Not bad. So now we're going to sing this again. Ready? Use your instrument. Or clap your hands, okay? Ready?
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Outstanding. Thank you. Yay! So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to put your instruments back in my bag, okay? So let's pray first. Thank you, God, for creating so much diversity. You have made our life interesting. Help us to understand and care for all the people of the world. Amen. Okay. Thanks for your help. You did a great job. Tambourine. You can use it another day.
The Old Testament reading today is Psalm 133, but I think after that we should be doing the psalm that starts, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And then we can eat, right, Carolyn? How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and unto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting.
The second reading of the word this morning is from Luke 17. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table. Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you have ordered to do, to say, we are worthless slaves. We've done only what we ought to have done. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your story in these words of Scripture. Give us eyes to see your story in the faces of those that surround us. And give us faith enough that by your grace we might serve you until the end of our days. Amen. As many of you know well, I love to travel. I have traveled with many of you. But I confess, I have my own style. I love wandering through village markets. I can spend ages in an old cathedral. A local art museum completely captivates me for hours. And honestly, a sidewalk cafe with a glass of the local wine is pretty much my idea of heaven. But don't you dare ask me to bike through a busy city, hike in a forest, or climb 1,000 stairs for anything. I just don't want to do it. Well, I share this as a backdrop so that you can fully understand the horror of a dream I had. A few weeks ago, I dreamed I was on a bus in Switzerland. The bus was heading to an art museum, and I was extremely excited. But somewhere along the way, the bus driver stopped the bus. He stood up, and he began convincing the passengers on the bus to change their plans. Rather than going to the museum, he claimed it would be a whole lot more fun to climb the local Alp. In my dream, the driver was able to convince all the riders that this was indeed a great idea. Well, that is everyone but me. I began to panic. It wasn't the trip that I had signed up for. Well, then I woke up. And I woke up with that particular kind of relief that comes when you realize a bad dream is just that, a dream. I couldn't help but remember that dream when I first read the gospel lectionary reading for this Sunday's sermon. It seemed as if the disciples were a little bit panicked themselves. Suddenly, they realized that they were on a different trip than the one for which they had signed up. My guess is that we've all know that feeling of life changing in the middle of the road. Sometimes that's in big ways, other times in small ways, but it's usually always a little bit unsettling. In the story, we find Jesus and his disciples traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. When we drop in on them, they're not even halfway to Jerusalem. The road is dirty and it's dusty. The crowds have been unbearable, sometimes even rude. And no doubt these disciples were tired, hungry, and frankly a little discouraged. They had been rejected in Samaria and ridiculed by the Pharisees. Not exactly the trip for which they had planned. Well, surely they remembered Jesus saying, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me." It had sounded so right and bizarrely thrilling. Even the trip packing list, no bag, no staff, no bread, had been intriguing. They had been ready and willing. And they still were ready and willing. But they just needed a little something more. Doubt was beginning to creep into their thoughts. The daily cross for which they had signed up for was beginning to feel heavier than they had ever expected, more demanding than they had ever anticipated, and probably not even slightly as much fun as they had envisioned. My guess is that at least one or two of them were beginning to question why they signed up for this trip in the first place. The conversation between Jesus and his disciples has a bit of a meltdown day feel to it. Now, those of you who have traveled on mission trips with me know well what a meltdown day is all about. It's the day, often on Wednesday, when the excitement of a week-long trip melts into the exhaustion of a week-long trip. Folks grumble a lot. They complain a lot. And they no doubt wonder why they ever signed up for this mission trip in the first place. Well, the meltdown event emerges in different ways, to different degrees, on different trips. But really, honestly, it's not so pleasant. At least as the leader of the group, not so pleasant. Yet, I came to learn that meltdown day is a valuable part of the mission trip experience as a whole. Utopia expectations melt away, and folks begin to authentically accept each other and themselves. They begin to understand that their mission work is an expression of their faith, and the community of faith in which they're living is the vehicle for that expression. And oh, by the way, they remember why they signed up for the trip in the first place. Well, I propose that we find the disciples in this scripture reading in a meltdown process. It's triggered when Jesus addresses a group issue, telling his travel companions that if someone sins against them, then confront the sinner and forgive him. Okay, that doesn't seem so bad. But then Jesus adds, even if it means forgiving them 7 times a day. It's not hard to understand why this seems a bit much to the disciples. And they respond, increase our faith. Maybe that was a shout of anger. What? Increase our faith. Or maybe it was a sarcastic statement. Well then, increase our faith. Or perhaps desperate pleas. Please, please increase our faith. Or maybe just a little bit of all of the above. At any rate, the disciples try to skate away from the responsibility that the demand that Jesus is demanding. Instead, they demand Jesus to solve the problem, almost as if Jesus has a magic wand. Jesus is smart, doesn't fall for that. Simply responds, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It is as if he tells the disciples and us that it's not about quantity of faith. It's about putting the faith you have into action. It's about changing the landscape. increase my faith. I confess, it's a regular prayer of mine. And frankly, I feel like Jesus was a little short on empathy for those exasperated guys. Haven't we all felt at one time or another that we don't have what we need to be the Christian we would like to be? It's too hard, too uncertain, too controversial, too expensive, too scary, too discouraging, too invasive, too time-consuming, too demanding, too much. And the doubts creep in, and we start thinking, this is not what I signed up for. I signed up for a security blanket kind of experience, a feel-good kind of trip, one that is safe and sheltered from the world around me. Not one that throws me back into the world. But the truth is, that is not the trip on which Jesus travels. Jesus was in the world with all of God's family, the poor, the sick, the oppressed, the lonely, the folks of the world. It was not a safe trip. Well, like the mission trip participants, the disciples did move past their meltdown. And as the miles to Jerusalem revealed to them the needs of God's people, the world changed. One person at a time. They, too, began to understand their work as an expression of their faith and the community of faith in which they are living as a vehicle for that expression. Lepers were cured. Children were blessed. The blind could see. Justice was demanded, while political threats were ignored. And it ends up, in fact, the trip for which they had signed up. Today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday began in 1933 at the Shady Side Presbyterian Church in Baltimore. In 1940, it spread worldwide. The 30s and the 40s were chaotic years for all of the world's people. The purpose of World Communion Sunday was then and is now to remind Christians that we are united through Christ. And with that divine union, we can put our faith into action and address the issues facing the world today. World Communion Sunday reminds us to step out of our comfortable silos and be God's vehicle of love to all of God's people, to be the church of Jesus Christ. So let us come to the table on this World Communion Sunday, rejoicing in the faith that's been given to us and remembering, oh yeah, this is the trip for which we signed up. With all its uncertainties, this is the trip for which we signed up. We can make the world a better place by being in the world with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We already have enough faith to do so. God gave us that. Amen.
As we gather this morning, we remember our sisters and brothers from every time zone around the globe. As today's sunlight inches across land and sea, Christians gather to celebrate their place in God's family. All are invited and all are welcomed.
Come, for the meal is ready. This is the Lord's table. People will come from east and west and south, north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that in your love you created for us a wonderful world. You made it a place of peace for the whole of your creation. You filled it with everything your people need. You made us in your image to follow your way and to live in right relationship with you and with each other. And from the beginning, you saved us. When your people were in slavery in Egypt, you led them to freedom and gave them a land of promise. In your love, you gave your law, your commandments, so that we might live in peace with you and with one another. Your prophets proclaimed that justice should roll down like waters and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. They lifted up a vision in which swords would be beaten into plowshares, and the nations would learn war no more. Even when we gave up on your way of peace and justice, yours is a love that never gave up on us. And so you sent your greatest gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And on this World Communion Sunday, we gather to give thanks for the Prince of Peace and to share his meal of reconciliation. So we add our voices to the course of history, who praise you in various ways, in a multitude of languages, and a multitude of songs, forever singing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of this bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord. Receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. God, these are the marks of your kingdom, which we pray for now, as Jesus taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his closest friends, the disciples. And at that meal, he took the bread. He broke it, and he said, This is my body, broken for you. Eat, remembering me. And in the same way, he took his cup and poured the wine and said, This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger. Whoever trusts in me will never thirst. Eat. This is a sign of a new covenant. Drink, remembering me.
Oh God, through this bread and this cup, you have made us one with you and with each other. May the unity we find at this table be a gift that we carry out into our divided world. Help us to find strength in knowing that you, the God of peace, will always be with us. Amen.
In thanksgiving for all of the many gifts that God has given us, let us now bring our gifts to God.
Dear Lord, we bring back to you just a very small portion of all the many blessings you've given to us. We ask that you take not just these financial resources, but our time, our talent, our actions, our thoughts, our words, that we may use it all to help build your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus sends us out.
And gives us love to tell and bread to share.
God Emmanuel everywhere. Amen.
I guess that'd be okay.